Ode to Grace, How Great a Debtor, number 25 in the 2 Samuel series. This is an exposition of 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 51. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, September the 29th, 2013.
Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, and I pray that as we come and gather around your word, that you'll open it to us. I pray that we'll be nourished and fed by your word, that we'll be strengthened to be the people that you've called us to be. And Father, as you speak, grant to us ears to hear and eyes to see, and grant to us a willingness to order our lives according to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know you're getting older when you get to that point in your life where you hear your father's voice come out of your mouth. And you find yourself saying those things to your kids that you hated to hear, and you swore you would never say something so foolish to your children. And I still remember the first time it happened. You want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. And when I said it, I went, Dad? You know, the truth is, I knew I was getting, the first time I really realized I was getting older is we were driving down the road and I actually said, kids, this all used to be open out here. And I know my kids were thinking just what I used to think. The old man's lost it. This has always been this way. You know, I felt like I needed to say, this all used to be open. I bagged my first brontosaurus right under that shade tree over there. But we do. You get to the point where you start reflecting the same attitudes, the same thoughts. How much did that cost? Why, do you know how much a candy bar cost when I was a kid? If you're my age, you probably had a dad that used to tell you, when I was a child, I'd go to the movies with a quarter. I'd see a double feature, bag of popcorn, a soda, come home, I still got a nickel in my pocket. You know, now, well, it was cheaper than that when you were a kid, Bill. And as my dad got older, those stories got wilder. You know, before long it was, I went to the movie with a quarter. I saw a triple feature, got 12 candy bars, a bag of popcorn, and bought a house. And I still had a nickel left over. You know, I used to walk to school. What do you mean you want to ride? All those kind of things. But the truth is, when you get older, your perspective does change. And you see life in a different way. And as you get older, you begin to realize that some of those things that you thought were really important are pretty insignificant. And things that you thought were pretty insignificant are the only things worth caring about. Something happens as you get older. Life changes. Your perspective changes. You look back over your life and you start to consider all the blessings of God and you come to the conclusion that I owe it all to God's grace. And I think that's the backdrop of our text tonight found in 2 Samuel chapter 22. David is looking back over his life and he's giving thanks to God for his goodness and his grace as it's been evidenced in his life. Actually, 2 Samuel chapter 22 is Psalm 18. If you turn to Psalm 18, you're going to find the exact words. The only difference would be spelling here and there, or a word here and there that's a little bit different. But it's David expressing praise to God near the end of his life for God's deliverance. In fact, the title is there in the opening verse. David spoke to the Lord the word of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies, from the hand of Saul, he said. Record. That's the title if you go to Psalm 18. So by the time you get through the title, you already know what it's all about. You already have a sense of where he's going. As he's expressing thanks to God because God has been faithful, because God has been gracious and merciful to him, and God has delivered him consistently from the hand of all his enemies. The context is David's at the end of his life, and as an older man, these are close to his last words as he looks back over his life. And he recognizes that God delivered him from the hand of Saul, but God also delivered him from the hand of all of his foreign enemies. God has even delivered him from the hand of his own son, Absalom. And I think David has in mind, God has even delivered me from my own hand. When David looked back over his life, he saw the hand of God consistently delivering him from all of his enemies. It's a long passage. There are 51 verses. So I'm going to kind of look at it in summary fashion, but by the time we get to the end of it, this is the basic message. This is the truth that I think comes out of 2 Samuel chapter 22. At the end of the day, the righteous know they owe everything to the grace of God. At the end of the day, when we look back over our lives, we ought to, as the people of God, recognize that everything that we are and everything that we have, we owe to the grace of God. As you read this, David's not under any illusion. David doesn't believe that he is where he is, that his wealth, his fame, his fortune had anything to do with his intelligence, his cunning as a military leader, or his economic strategy. Instead, David looks back over his life and says, it's all due to the grace of God. Now, in a very real sense, you and I could look at the life of David, and as we summarize his life, we could summarize it as this great, powerful military leader and king. But when David looked back on his life, his conclusion was, there is a great and mighty, a powerful God. David didn't see himself. David didn't see his own exploits. He saw the hand of God in everything. And he understood instinctively he owed it all to the grace of God. Three things I want to point out as we work our way through the text. First of all, God graciously comes to the aid of his people. We find it in the first 20 verses. Look with me, 2 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll begin at verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assail me. The cords of Sheol entangle me. The snares of death confront me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I called. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him like a canopy. Thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high and he took me. He drew me up out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. As David opens this song, he just bursts forth with praise. There was an explosion of praise because in the opening words, he's trying to capture the essence, the sense of the glory of God, and he's incapable. There's no way of describing him adequately. Words cannot do God justice, but he's doing his best. And in doing so, he's piling image upon image, word upon word, and trying to get something of the greatness and the grandeur of God displayed before the people. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. He uses two metaphors. One is military in the word strength and shield and horn. The other of refuge, rock, fortress, deliverer, stronghold. The dominant note throughout this psalm is, and this passage is, David's expression of God as his rock. And that's a common image in the Old Testament. And it's strange to us. I mean, how do we think of God as a rock? What does that do for us? We have to understand the context. In living in that desert region, the rock was important. It was a symbol for many things in the Old Testament. It was a place of protection and shade. It was a place of refuge for people as they could hide in the rock and find shelter there. It was a sure foundation. It was something upon which you built upon rock rather than sand and so forth. So God is seen as this place of safety and security, as this place of peace and refreshment, as this place of strength and power. And David is giving praise to God because God has come to his aid. Because David's life has been one of great calamity. He has often found himself in danger, and he has found God consistent in coming to his aid and delivering him throughout all his days. And so this is a song of praise, giving thanks to God for his deliverance. And as he begins, David's praise is intense because he understands the greatness of his calamity. He understands how difficult his circumstance is. Look at verse 5 down through verse 7. Listen to how he describes his circumstance. The waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol, or death, entangle me. The snares of death confronted me. As he's describing his circumstance, it's overwhelming. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I called to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. As David expresses the problem he was having, as David is talking about what God delivered him from, it's nothing minor. David isn't saying, I am so grateful. Let me testify to the greatness of God. I had a sore throat and God delivered me from that. That's not what he's talking about. He isn't talking about minor problems. He isn't talking about he's having difficulty with his neighbor. He's having a running battle with a coworker. That's not it. He's describing his life as one where death has him in its clutches. Remember, he spent time hiding out on the hills on the run from the most powerful man in the kingdom. Saul wanted him dead, and he was on the run. He was constantly surrounded by enemies who wanted to take his kingdom. He had to fight off his own son who plotted his overthrow. David is describing his life as one in which death dogged his tracks all his life. And he says, and yet God delivered me. God was faithful in delivering me. So David's praise is intense because of the circumstance out of which he's delivered. But as we go on in verse 8 and following, we understand the exuberance of his praise reflects the greatness of his deliverer. Look at how he says in verse 7, I cried out, I called to the Lord, and he heard me. And now verse 8, not only has God heard, but he comes. And look at the description he gives us of God's coming to him in his distress. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. And the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Now, David could have said, in my life, I've had many difficulties. In my life, I have faced death on numerous occasions. I found myself in very desperate circumstances and in very trying times, and I just like to say, thank God he intervened. And that would have been accurate. That would have been faithful. That would have been a testimony. Why did he go into the great detail as he did? Why did he describe God in the way he did? Why not just say, but God delivered me and I'm grateful? Why all this detail of fire and flashes of lightning and all that? It's because David doesn't want us to just understand that God delivers. He wants us to understand the kind of God who delivers. And the power and the glory and the majesty of this delivering God. He wants us to grasp something of the glory and the wonder of it. And so he describes God in these vivid, vivid terms. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Now think about that. David is talking about those who seek to destroy him. And as he talks about God's response on his behalf, he notes that God is angry at those who sought to destroy his servant. We need to understand that when the scripture talks about the Lord being zealous and jealous of his own, what that means. We need to understand that because he loves us as he loves us, because he cherishes us as he cherishes us, because, as David says in verse 20, he delights in us. God is angry and takes it personal when we are attacked and people seek to destroy us. Now, what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus? What happened is he was breathing out threats against the church as he was on his way to round up any of the following of the way that he could find to drag them back to Jerusalem to arrest them and hopefully lead to their execution. What did Jesus say? Why are you persecuting me? Because our God takes it personally when one of his children are attacked. And David wants us to understand that. David wants us to understand what it means that God is our champion. To understand when we say he's our refuge, he's our fortress, he's our strength, what that means. So he doesn't want you to just read, yeah, but God delivers. Well, praise the Lord. He wants us to catch a sense of the fear and the awe-inspiring sight of the God who steps up on our behalf. Not because he owes it to us, but because he has graciously chosen to delight in us. See, we have to understand, we put this in the context of the whole of Scripture, and we understand that God does not delight in us because we're delightful. We are sinners who are fully deserving of his wrath and judgment, but he chooses to love. And God's choosing to love us is not his choice to tolerate our existence, but his choosing to delight in us and be fierce in our defense. Isn't that a glorious thought? Isn't that something wonderful to get a hold of? To understand that the Lord loves his own, and the Lord, when he protects his own, he comes as a fire. He comes where the earth shakes and trembles in his presence. Because what that reminds us is, I don't care who's threatening us, they're no match for this God. It's like going out on a night when there's a thunderstorm and just standing and listening to the thunder and look at the lightning flash across the sky and say, that's my protector. And I'm just seeing the outer fringes of his garment. And he delights in me. That's the love of our God. That's the wonder of his grace. And that's what David's gotten a hold of. And that's what he's singing about as he looks back over his life. And his praise is exuberant. It's also ecstatic because of the wonder of his deliverance in verse 17 down through verse 20. He sent from on high and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place and rescued me because he delighted in me. He's overwhelmed by the grace of God. He's overwhelmed by God's deliverance of him. And he can't help but praise. He can't help but rejoice in the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God. God graciously comes to the aid of his people. No matter what threatens us, whether it's an enemy from without, whether it's our own foolishness, God comes to the aid of his people, and it's an act of his grace, his mercy toward us. Second, God graciously provides for those who trust in him. That starts in verse 21 and runs down through verse 31. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Now, wait a minute. That's troublesome. Did you pay attention? Did you hear what he was thankful for? I mean, look at verse 21. Look at it again. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Now, I wrote out to the end of that. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. Really? According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Seriously? Who's writing this? David. What do we know about David? He was a man after God's own heart. And a horrible sinner. Or a great sinner, depending on your perspective. But while he was a great sinner, he was also a great repenter. As he acknowledged his sin and cried out for the mercy and the grace of God. But boy, there's this part of me that looks at those verses in verse 21, and then the same thing is repeated in verse 25. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. And I don't understand that. But you must read 2 Samuel 22, verse 21 and verse 25 in light of 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 22, 23, and 24. You got to read the whole thing. Because what first appears as if David is patting himself on the back and beating his chest and saying, well, God delivered me because I'm such a wonderful person. God delivered me because I'm so righteous. I'm so holy. That isn't what he's saying at all. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. He's using covenant language. And all that David is claiming, he's certainly not claiming perfection. He certainly isn't claiming that he is sinless in all of this. He's not talking about works righteousness. He isn't talking about he earned the favor and the grace of God and he earned God's deliverance. What he's saying is, I've not turned my back on God. I've not abandoned him as my rock, as my fortress, as my deliverer. The whole passage leading up to these verses is about God acting on his behalf as a deliverer. When he said, I couldn't deliver myself and my only hope was this God who came and delivered me. He's clear that he's emphasizing God's grace toward him. So he doesn't turn around and then say, but then God was gracious to me because he owed me that. He's simply saying, because I walked in his path, and because I didn't abandon, because I put my trust in him, God graciously delivered. And that's reflected in the following verses, 26 down through verse 31. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. So David isn't saying God owed me this. David is saying God was gracious to me in all of this. God did for me what I could never have done for myself, and I'm grateful for it. God graciously comes to the aid of his people. God graciously provides for those who put their trust in him. And finally, God graciously ensures that his kingdom will prevail. For who is God but the Lord, verse 32? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge, and he has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and he set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet, for you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me. Those who hated me, I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me. You brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. In verse 32 through 43, he speaks of the power that established the kingdom. He acknowledges it was God and his power, it was God and his grace, it was God and his enabling that brought and established the kingdom. Then he talked to those people who served him, and they were foreigners. When they heard of the greatness of God and they heard of David's name, they came trembling before, and they became his servants, not because of his greatness, but because of the greatness of his God. And then there is that great promise in verse 51. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. God ensures his kingdom will prevail. And it's all of his grace. It's all out of his mercy and kindness to us. Note that word in verse 51, his steadfast love. That's the word hesed. It's the covenant word. Because of his covenant, because of his covenant of grace, because of his mercy, he has ensured that this kingdom will stand forever. God's promise is based on his power. We are what we are by his grace. We have what we have by his grace. So that at the end of the day, the righteous stand and say, without hesitation, without qualification, I owe everything to the grace and the kindness of my God. That's our hope. It's not in our intelligence. It's not in our faithfulness. It's owed to his grace and his choosing to be merciful to us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your mercies, your grace, and your kindness. Father, I acknowledge that I'm not worthy, that none of us are worthy. But you've chosen to love us. You've chosen to deliver us. You've chosen to keep us. You've chosen to bring us to your kingdom, where we'll be forever in your presence. And we owe it all to your grace. It's not our righteousness plus whatever is needed to make it up. It is all of grace. It is all of your mercy and your kindness. And Father, I pray that we never lose sight of that. Because it's in the acknowledgement of that that we find strength in our most trying times. Because we all come upon those circumstances in our lives, those situations that we have to face, where we simply don't have the strength. Our courage fails, and our faith falters. But our hope, our confidence, is not in our ability to believe, but in your promise to keep. We owe it all to your grace. And tonight we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.